Bible with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17. And a familiar text, but the Lord's laid this on our heart for this hour or directed us to this place. And I hope you'll be praying that God would give us what we need. I sure need a touch from the Lord, but I'm glad He's faithful. Look at verse number 11. If you'll notice with me, we're looking at the 10 lepers that were healed. One of the many miracles that the Lord performed on during His earthly ministry. And of course, John says if everything He did was pinned down during that 3.5 year ministry, the Bible said the world couldn't contain the books. So the Lord put all in here that He wanted us to know, but the half hadn't been told of what Christ done just on earth. Amen goes right there. Look at verse number 11 of Luke 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now again, we know the Jews didn't go through Samaria. They were too good because the Samaritans, they were half Jew and Gentile. And of course, they looked down upon them. But I'm glad Jesus in chapter 4, John must needs go through there. And if I'm glad the Lord must needs go through where I lived. Amen. I'm glad the Lord didn't look down on me. He came to save the likes of me. Amen. And you. So don't ever say, because it's not going to float with me, I've been too bad, I've got too bad of a heritage. You just don't know. No, I don't have to know. Don't care to know. I don't need to know, because the Lord knows, and He'll still save you. Amen. No excuses for not being saved tonight. There's none. There's no excuse. The debt's been paid. Amen. Christ done everything that needed to be done for you to get saved. So there's no excuse. The Bible said, "Man will stand before God without excuse." There'll be no excuse. Nobody stand before the Lord and say, "Well, I wasn't in the chosen few," or "I wasn't ordained or predestined to go to heaven, so I didn't get to go." Folks, you can point a finger at God for stuff like that, but nobody will say that. It's not His will that any perish, but all come to repentance. Amen. All right, look at verse 12. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And we know the custom. If you had leprosy, you couldn't go near anybody. You had to be ostracized, because that was a very, very contagious and deadly disease. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And we know, according to the New Testament, they're supposed to have been proclaiming unclean, to give people warning not to come near them. Unclean. And when Jesus saw them, verse 14, He said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." We know that's a custom. When leprosy was healed, they had to go to the priest. The priest had to do certain things. And after those certain things were done, they could be proclaimed clean again. Amen. Man, the law is hard. Right. Get a hold of that. The law is hard. Yes. The law is impossible to be perfected in. Aren't you glad Jesus come and fulfilled the law? The law is righteous, but man, it's hard. I'm glad salvation in Christ isn't hard. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. See, that's an act of obedience and faith. Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, that is a slap in the Jews' face. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of the word. Again, we're preaching on the 10 lepers that were cleansed. Now, just look at the text. Again, the text is self-explanatory. It's not hard to understand, because it's an event that God put in here of what Christ did for 10 lepers. And there's nothing to read into that. The Lord was coming from Jerusalem to Samaria, and he ran into these 10 men, and they began to cry out, "Have mercy on us." And he told them to go to the priest, show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed. That's a miracle. By the way, we understand, and I may repeat this, that leprosy, hey, to get rid of it, it had to be a supernatural act. There was no medicine for it. There was no healing for it. If it wasn't supernaturally healed, it wasn't getting healed. Just like our sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin. You and I were born with it. We was born with a sin nature. Bible says if we say we have no sin, we're liars and truth is not in us. If we try to say I have no sin nature, then we're lying. Everybody has a sin nature. But I'm glad we have a new nature as well. And sin shall not have dominion over us. If it does, we've allowed it. Amen. And so we see in the text, we see the Christ in the text. We see his faithfulness. They called on him and he answered. I like that. I'm glad he said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise cast them out. Amen. We see their connection in verse 14. He saw them. Verse 14, look at it with me. Let me get there. In verse 14, what chapter is this? Chapter 17, verse number 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyselves unto the priest. So the connection, he saw them. I like this. We see his compassion. He did not ignore them. Now, folks, you can look up online and punch in leprosy or people with leprosy. That is one ugly sight. That's one nasty thing. It's a painful thing. I mean, folks, what they look like on the outside physically is what we look like on the inside spiritually. And I'm glad the Lord saw us and he had compassion on us. Again, I quote John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means under no circumstance will I cast him out if he'll come to me. Amen. Nobody's ever come to Christ for salvation and him say, nope, not you. That's never happened. The Word of God said, he said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise, under no circumstance, will I cast them out. Thank God for that. Again, let me repeat this. No excuse for going to hell. No excuse for remaining unsaved. I mean, folks, your spiritual life, your outward life can be just as ugly as this leprosy. But Jesus will change your life. Amen. Verse 14, we see cleansing. As it came to pass, they went, they were cleansed. When Jesus gets involved, he makes it right. But then we see the characters of the text. We see the Christ of the text, and we see the characters of the text. We see this. We see all 10 men. Get this. They were in the same mess. They had leprosy. They had a foul disease. Leprosy is like scurvy, scabs, appalling sores, painful. Again, a picture of sin. They was in the same mess. One couldn't look at another and said, I believe you worse than me. Did you notice they wasn't examining each other's leprosy? We're going to see what is here and we're going to see what's not here. They was not examining each other's leprosy. One wasn't saying, well, I'm not as bad as you, so I'm all right. They knew they all was bad. Same goes for all of us. Amen. They was in the same mess. Guess what? Verse 13, they asked for the same mercy. Master, have mercy on us. They realized if Jesus didn't have mercy on them, they wasn't getting healed. Amen. Folks, if Christ hadn't had mercy on us, we wouldn't got saved. Amen. None of us would have got saved had Christ not had mercy on us. Then they heard the same message in verse 14, and they had the same mission in verse 14. When the Lord said, go show yourself, hey, obedience and faith, they turned and went. That's a picture of repentance. Amen. Folks, when you obey the gospel and turn from and turn to Christ, you can get saved. Hey, they had the same mess, had to ask for the same mercy, had the same message, had the same mission. Get this, they experienced the same miracle. So all these men had the same mercy, message, mission, and miracle. That's wonderful. But here's what they didn't have alike. They didn't have the same mindset. In verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Get a hold of this. Only one glorified God publicly. Right there with a loud voice, he shouted it out. When's the last time you actually praised the Lord for your salvation? When's the last time you just stood up and testified, praise the Lord for saving an old wretch like me? Out of 10, only one glorified God publicly. Only one got close to God prayerfully. Only one gave thanks to God poorly or humbly. Get that. Out of 10 that was in the same mess, got the same mercy and the same message, and got the same miracle, only one had the right mind, said, hey, we're going to give thanks. The same miracle. They got the same healing, the same grace, the same mercy, the same compassion. Now, if that was a congregation of 10, only 10% turned back and glorified the Lord. Only 10% of the congregation actively expressed gratitude to the Lord for what He did in their life. When's the last time you publicly thanked the Lord for what He's done for you? Not just in the church service, but at the gas pump. Amen. Talking to the waiter, the waitress. When's the last time you publicly say, hey, are you a Christian? You don't know what you're missing. Boy, the Lord saved me. Give that testimony of when Jesus found you. So we see here that one had the same mindset. So I'm going to ask the question, what was the other people's problem? What was them other nine guys' problem? What was their problem? There was a reason that they did not. Now, I'm not trying to add to the Word of God, and I don't know how that they turned when the Lord said, go show yourself to the priest. I don't know if they just took off. I don't know. But all of them turned to head out, and one turned back. Now, folks, just using common sense and imagination, they didn't get far. The Bible said this one was praising God, glorifying God with a loud voice. They heard that. And that never rebuked their heart to say, you know what, we need to go back. Amen. We need to go back and get on our face before the Lord and give Him thanks for what He did for us. Amen. I mean, they had to hear it. I'm talking with a loud voice tonight. You having any trouble hearing me? Sure. Well, you say, preacher, you mic'd up. You'd still hear me if I didn't have a mic on. And so, why? What was their issue? What's our issue? These days that we live in, we're not glorifying God. We're not faithful to God. Everything comes before God. What is their issue? Well, I'll tell you what. Number one, they didn't even think about it. These are simple things. One thought about it. One realized, I need to thank Him, for the Lord Jesus, for what He done for me. I might not see Him again. Now, the Bible doesn't say either way, but it doesn't say they did. They never saw Him again. I know they got born again, they're saying Him now, but I'm going to thank Him right now. Their mind was on other things. Their mind was on other things. Folks, how much does our mind stay on other things? I mean, I commend them. They didn't try to act like they really didn't have leprosy. They didn't try to act self-righteous, so to speak. They didn't denounce or deny it. They admitted that, Lord, have mercy on us. They acknowledging their condition. They acknowledged their condition, and God's they called on the Lord, and God touched them. A wonderful thing just happened in their life, and then they never think about turning back. Maybe, again, I'm not trying to add to scriptures, but maybe they didn't get 20 yards away from Christ and hear that guy yell, and they done talking about what they're going to do after they get done with the priest. They done talked about, man, we can go back to that favorite vacation spot. We can go back to that favorite restaurant. Man, we can get to do this, and we're going to do that. Never thinking about what they should be doing like the other one. That's my opinion. I don't believe they even thought about going back. As a saying goes, you wouldn't care so much about what people think of you if you knew how less or how little they actually thought of you. And folks, the same goes with the Lord, how little we think about Him. From here to here. I'm not exempt of anything. I'm the worst of the worst in the building. I understand that. But realizing we was in the same mess, got the same message, and received the same miracle, that we don't even think about daily thanking the Lord, showing our gratitude, and doing it publicly if God opens the door. That's my first thought. They didn't think about it. Number two, I believe they might have been too interested in looking at themselves. Boy, look at us. Because I believe this, when the Lord healed from leprosy, I believe that their skin became just like they were young'uns again. I don't believe there was a scar from leprosy. I don't believe there was a blemish anywhere. I believe when the Lord healed it, I mean, man, they come back smooth. And maybe they just started spending too much time in front of the mirror. Y'all, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Forgot about the mercy and grace that God afforded them to cleanse them. And all of a sudden, it became all about them. Probably got mad at the priest because he didn't show them off and say, look at these boys. Let's put them in the spotlight. Look at them. Look at them. Boy, they begin to look at themselves. Folks, we spend a lot of time looking at ourselves. But we don't see what God's done for us. We act like we have arrived. Folks, don't misunderstand me, please. And the analogy goes, do you understand why the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror? The Lord wants us to move forward and not spend so much time looking back at our past. But that rearview mirror is still there. We need to glance at it every now and then to be reminded. Not to get us down and out. Paul looked at the rearview mirror every now and then and gave his testimony. I'm reminded of the story of a little beggar boy that stood on the corner every day begging for money. Homeless, nothing, nobody, rags, just filthy. Standing on the corner, begging for money, had his sign. Passerbys went by, didn't look at him, didn't pay him any attention. He was just a filthy and sores and just weathered. And one day this big old limousine pulled up, had some guards around it. And the king got out of the limousine and looked at that little boy and said, hey, how would you like to be my son today? The little boy said, I'd love that. He put him in his car, made him his son. Took him home, and here they go up the big winding road in the castle up on the hill, the mansion. Up and down, up and down. Here they go. And then he takes him upstairs and shows him his room that's already equipped with everything he needs. All the clothes the little boy would want, all the toys the little boy would want, everything you'd ever want, it's there. He got his bath and put those new clothes on and went to bed. And the king started noticing every morning that the little boy would come downstairs for breakfast, and you could tell he'd been crying. You could tell he'd been crying, and the king would look at him but didn't say anything. And it happened about every morning, and one morning the king said, I'm going to sneak up there before he comes down, and I'm going to look in there, and I'm going to see what's going on in that room. He was looking through the crack of the door, and a little boy's alarm clock went off, and he got up. And the first thing he done, he looked in the mirror. And then he went over to the big chest of drawers and went to the bottom drawer, and he pulled out them old raggedy, dirty rags that he was wearing the day the king come and got him. And he took those old raggedy, nasty clothes, and he put them in front of him and the mirror, and he stood there, and it wasn't long, tears began to go down his face. And that king, he couldn't take it anymore. He burst in the room and said, what are you doing? He said, well, why are you doing this? He said, you doing this every morning? The boy nodded his head. He said, do you not want, he said, I love you. You don't want to be my son? Are you regretting this? What's going on? He said, no, no, no. He said, I get up every morning and I do this as a reminder of where I was before you come by and got me. He said, I don't ever want to forget where I was and the condition I was in. Hey, and if I don't ever forget that, I'll never not appreciate what you're doing. I love it here. I love you, and I'm thankful for you. But I don't want to forget the condition I was in before you decided to come my way and rescue me and take me out of that mess and put me in a new position and a new place. God help us in these days. Every now and then it'd do us all well. There'd be less self-righteousness. There'd be less haughtiness. There'd be less, oh, I'm better than you. If we'd just get up every morning and be reminded just for a few minutes of where we was and what we were doing before Jesus came by our way and saved our soul. Amen. These old boys, they didn't think about it. And they got interested in themselves. Immediately, man, they forgot. Folks, we forget too easy. I believe we remember where we were before Jesus found us and where we were headed. Folks, you understand that we don't even know how many steps to hell we were at before Jesus saved us. Do you understand that some of us could have been, I'm talking about, just a few minutes away from hell? But Jesus had mercy. You imagine just in a few days or a few weeks or a few months, we'd have been in hell, but God. We get a hold of that and see our life before Christ and all the messes He's got us out of and how good He is to us. We spend more time thanking Him. We spend more time in His Word. We spend more time in His house. He'd be first place again. God help us. Number three. They didn't think about it, too interested in looking at it themselves. Then they didn't feel they owed it to the Lord. Like they'd be cleansed without Him. Folks, that's our, and none of us would ever say that. And I'm not saying any of us actually think that, but our lives make it look like that. I don't owe the Lord anything. I'm saved. Hey, you know, we're saved by the blood, saved by grace. We can't save ourselves, and that's right. But where is the gratitude? Where's the gratitude? Where is the labor? Folks, we'll never repay, and we'll never be able to repay what Christ done. But oh Lord, oh mercy. Another story, and I didn't have this planned. It's just like there was auction off slaves. And there was a slave got put on the auction block. This man was a mountain of a man. I mean, he had muscles and he was huge and he was big. And they put him on the auction block, and all these men began to see dollar signs and the work they could do and get done. And man, the bidding started. And the whole time this man was going, I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you bid. I'll never serve any of you. I'll never submit to any of you. And you'll never make me do it. They didn't pay me any attention. They kept bidding, and he kept screaming at them, I'll never submit. And during all that, the richest man in town walked up and bidded one price, and nobody could match it. Sold. And that man paid the money and got the paperwork. And he walked up to this mountain of a man and the man snarling at him said, I don't care what you give. It don't matter to me what you give. I'll never submit to you. I'll never serve you. I'll never bow to you. And the man said, hold it. You don't understand. I didn't pay a price for you nobody else could pay to keep you in bondage. I paid it to set you free. And he took the fetters and chains off, tore up the paperwork. And when that man told that slave that, tears welled up in his eyes and he began to cry. And he fell down at the man's feet and said, nobody's ever done anything like that for me. And he said, I'll serve you till my dying day. Hey, the Lord didn't save me and you to keep us in bondage. He saved us to set us free. And because he set me free, I'll serve him until my dying day. Don't get full of yourself. These lepers were cleansed. God saved them out of a mess and out of a horrible, horrible life. Spared their life. And only one turned. A congregation this size, I wonder how many are glorifying God. And I believe they had their own agenda, and I didn't mention that. Even when Christ stopped for them, he was making a journey. Remember that in the text? He was making a journey. From Jerusalem to Samaria, he was making a journey. And on his journey, he's moving. The Lord has something going on. He's doing something. And they called unto him, and he stopped for them. Folks, the Lord stopped for us. When you called on him, he stopped for you. He stopped for me. He stopped. Our agenda means nothing in light of that. God, help me. I want to be like the one, not like the nine. I'm not saying I've arrived. God knows I've not. But that's where my heart's at, buddy. That's where my heart's at. Where's yours? Where's yours? Boy, I'm thankful God knows how to get your attention, and he knows how to knock a knot in your head, and he knows what to do to produce holiness in your life. Hey, don't take that stuff for granted. Even chastening is his love. Tonight, I ask this question in closing. Are you the one, or are you part of the nine? Let's all stand. Court's coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar's open.